But before all of the relationships, I had a level of execution. I studied Nipsey Hussle like he like my brother almost, you know, like, and what I mean by that is I understood how to increase my value and then begin to leverage it. I understood how to make the mayor want to come have a conversation with me because, you know, back to that kind of racist conversation, the racist conversation has a kind of undertone of give me, you should give me, and right or wrong. I believe, yes, we never got our 40 acres in the mule. So that's a fact. But we also still can say we never got the 40 acres in the mule. So now I don't want to have a give me. I want to have a business conversation. I want to have an intellectual property conversation. I want to have a conversation that says that we've been able to execute on this level without you guys. Now, this is what we can do to support you as a partnership.
Welcome to Expressive Espresso.
Today is about the power of you.
Anytime I'm scared of something, I feel impelled to attack it.
Expressive Espresso is the coffee shop for leaders like you.
If you don't fail, you're not even trying.
Expand your knowledge about personal development.
Anything that starts with I don't want to work is already a problem.
Entrepreneurship.
Invest in things that you understand.
And leadership.
You will change the world.
This is Expressive Espresso with Alexis DeAngicoli.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Expressive Espresso. I'm your host, Alexis DeAngicoli. It has been a very long time, but I am so glad to be back, and I'm so glad with the guests that I have joining us today. I actually searched for him, and I noticed that he has a great presence in the community of the Triad in Greensboro, North Carolina, and High Point and Jamestown. So introducing Stephen Matthews for P4Kids. How are you doing today, this evening?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you for having me. I was excited about doing this interview, so I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, I mean, I'm excited too. I mean, if there's a better word than excited, I need to look it up, but I'm more than excited. So that's how I feel. So to start off, I like to start off from where we are now, right? Just because I used to be a project manager, so I like to think about where we are now and how that kind of, I guess, transcended to where we thought we would be. So as far as where you are now, what doors do you think have been open for you during that process, if that makes sense?
Definitely. The doors that have been open. My journey hasn't been, I wouldn't say my journey has been full of doors open. I have had to take the cards that's dealt and learn how to reshuffle my hand and play it that way. So what that looks like is, I'm a volunteer for Guilford County Citizens Academy for 12 weeks. And then I'm going to introduce myself to county commissioners and ask that I have an opportunity to sit on the board called Juvenile Crime Prevention Council. So it's been more about me creating doors. It's been more about me taking the intangibles that I've been able to execute with, which is ambition, drive, discipline, confidence, and just knowing what I was trying to get done at each level and making sure I got it done.
That's a great answer. And as I was doing like research on you, I have to ask, do you plan on running for anything in the Triad? Because, because I noticed with that answer, you said tangibles. And I think that's a great perspective, right? Like as far as, you know, when people are voting for anything, especially the Black and Brown community, you know, I believe that we require tangibles. So when you said that, that really stuck out to me. So I have to ask that. Do you plan on, if you can let us know now, but.
Hey, I would tell you this. I remember once upon a time saying to myself that I'll run for mayor one day. And so, you know, funny thing is, I'm a firm believer in manifestation and faith and speaking things into existence. And so more times than not, when I speak those type of things, I usually end up going in that direction. I do think it's imperative that we have the correct representation of these certain districts that are more housed with the impoverished Black and Browns. And I do hold leadership of these communities responsible to a degree, because we have a term like intergenerational poverty, and we have city goals and development plans that have just been modified and amended for over 40 plus years. And so without placing blame, you know, I'm a combat vet. And so I understand when you have a rank that comes with responsibility. And so that's the good and the bad credits. And so I just say that if that door does open itself up, or if I decide to create that door a little closer to the next term, it's a chance that could happen.
When did it become about the community for you?
Wow. You know, I really think that it's always kind of been about the community. For me, you know, my story begins as an adult about 16, going to boot camp and then entering to the U.S. Army at 17. And so always having to wear those type of hats and be the leader or be the person. I just kind of evolved into this place. I tell you, I became a professional boxer and I had an opportunity to go to Columbus, Ohio. And I saw how big boxing was for our Black and Brown communities. So when I arrived back in North Carolina, that was a goal for me to implement, you know? And so I kind of started with adults, but I was always gravitating towards the kids, especially being a father and having younger kids at that time. My disciplinary methods kind of was boxing and the intangibles of military things. And so I thought it'd be a great product for our community. And so for the last few years, that's what we've been doing and had a chance to evolve into an organization that has ultimately used the sport of boxing as an engagement tool to build intimate association and relationships with teens and youth, school age, young adults and families, with an ultimate goal to help close whatever their gaps are, whether that's occupational. We have a partnership with NC Works here where we're able to hire 16 through 24 year olds. And so that gives us a chance to provide job readiness training and mentoring, as well as pay them $15 an hour with the opportunity to go into a quick career program at GTCC, paying for free. And so we took the sport of boxing and began as a recreation, but ultimately became an organization that empowers communities.
That's a great beginning and a great answer. I mean, I was going to ask you about boxing, but and how it serves the community, because I'm sure that you have gotten your fair share of haters or people saying, oh my goodness, this is a sport that, or this is an activity that's very violent. How do you combat that? It serves for the community.
Well, you know, that level of dialogue is usually going to be with some level of school principal or school counselor, maybe even some community people. What happens is that you get a chance to see myself or the team engage with these school age or these teens, and the relationship that's built and the skill or the craft that's being taught, it begins to transform the kid into a person that is more composed, has a level of emotional intelligence, has what we call the carrots and the leadership qualities. And that's what we're able to do through the sport of boxing, is not teach a kid how to fight with his hands, but more with his mind, more with his attitude, his character, her character. And you have different scenarios. There could be a bullying situation. And so it's not necessarily the physical engagement as much as it is just the disposition and the confidence in how you walk, and how you go through the halls, how you look people in the eyes. And so that has been a challenge initially when I first started out, because boxing isn't a sport that's really recognized here in the county. And that's why it wasn't important for me to go so hard in the recreation as much as it was answering those questions that you just stated or highlighted. And that's kind of how we really attack that. And you got to understand, too, we have a therapeutic service. if I go to that direction, if I teach a kid how to hit the heavy bag and dopamine is released in his brain, and that's a temperament changer. That's a positive, and that has to be articulated. Also, you have to think about 78% of teachers in North Carolina are women that don't usually look like the students they're in front of. So now you start talking about the dynamics of the male presence being back in the student's face or in the life. And building a relationship, which translates into a 15 to 30 point difference higher than the best female teacher can get you. But that just says that we have to reposition our men back into our youth, brown and black boys' lives. And so these are the conversations and the way I'm able to articulate where we have value and where we bring support to the family just as much as the school.
So it's kind of like your motto, right? Where you say we're not gang gang, we're a team team, right?
That's big facts.
Yes. It's like, you know, it takes pretty much a village, but it takes the team to combat these negatives, especially the negative connotations, you know, dealing with the sport of boxing. And so as a staple in the community, how do you remain grounded with these challenges?
I got a couple of rocks in my hand right now, dealing with my chakra.
Okay.
You know, that's a challenge within itself. You know, I've been a father since I was probably 17. And so, you know, along my journey, having children and being who I am today, I've now had to kind of like relearn how to get in front of self-care. And that's an everyday thing for me, just trying to find time to relax and spend time with myself. But I always say, like, I fought for the country, so I'm obligated to fight for the community. And so I will say I find great joy and pleasure in what I do. It's brought me to a different place as a man, having purpose. I think, you know, I'm finding balance as I continue to go.
Like I said, you're definitely a staple within the triad. One thing in particular, I know COVID made everyone pivot. How does the residue of COVID affect punch for pound kids, or even yourself, even how you were talking about with the self-care? Because I was a young mother too. I had my first daughter at 19. And so when people say self-care, I'm just like, self-care, what? Like, there's stuff to do. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you know, if I understand the question correctly, I would say that I still had the same mindset as like being a soldier and just saying like, yo, we in hard times. Let me put this Kevlar LBE on and put these boots on. And I just kept working and stayed focused on that. During COVID, I did a lot of things, you know, that I opened up the gym at nighttime. I let my brothers come in, the community come in, let them get their stress off. And so, you know, that's kind of how I've been able to just deal with the pandemic and everything that's taking place, is just kind of work through it. And I have a great relationship with the Most High, and I'm a man of faith. And so, I still got those glasses on, like it's work to do.
I wanted to go back on your challenges as far as, well, being a Black man here in the triad, I would say, for example, I know that downtown Greensboro there was a rush of Black ownership there. And then now it's kind of turning. Does that affect your business as well as a Black man in business?
I like that question. And I think it's layers to that question.
Okay.
I will start off with, historically, there has always been a huge disparity between minority businesses and the city with contracts. We make up almost 50% of the population here in the city. So that means we pay a lot of taxes just like everybody else. And so there has to be a intentful purpose from the city level, city council level, to empower Black or minority business. And that's why you have a minority women business enterprise that's supposed to be a representation federally to make sure that disparity gap is closing every fiscal year, or not being stagnated or widening. for Punch for Pound Kids. I'm a for-profit, and that was on purpose. I was able to be a student in my business and learn and grow and understand the significance of what educational gaps we're able to assist in closing, recreational, life and soft, employment, occupational. I haven't been contracted with the city. I believe that that's in my near future, and I'm really happy and can't wait. Like I always speak it, because that means that we're breaking chains when those type of events occur. And to me, Black business is revolutionary. When you look at just not Greensboro, you look at High Point, we have some of the poorest zip codes in the country. Entrepreneurship or Black enterprise has to be one of the antidotes to that. And that's not rocket science conversation. And so, you know, that's going kind of back to the representation from a city council standpoint of these particular districts and what their conversations are. And it takes not just one vote, it's about 7 votes, I believe. But I think overall, individuals like yourself, myself, stakeholders, business owners, residentials, whether you rent or own, everybody is paying something. That means the city is making something. You know, those who are impacted by that, we have to speak at on the necessary platforms about how Black or minority businesses can have more contracts with the city. And so I quietly, when I say quietly, just behind certain doors to the right people, kind of create that conversation. Because I am a small Black business, I'm a veteran-owned business, and it should be for businesses like us, we should have the support of the city to ensure that we're getting certain contracts. I don't want to say, you know, racism, it's a very strong word. Classism is too. And so that racist card can be a confrontation, or is a confrontation that we've always had. For me, it wasn't about the Black and white conversation as much as it was about how can I create enough value and become a support, and so that we can build that relationship. How can we create a transactional relationship so that Punch for Pound Kids can create a pipeline to the major entities, the power sources that will funnel resources down to the communities in need. And so playing a racist conversation stagnates that, in my opinion. Having a real conversation about classism or economics or Black enterprise being less than 7% in Greensboro. Now that's worth having a conversation about, you know. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. With the relationships that you have built and the quiet steps that you have taken, how has that affected the kids within Punch for Pound?
I think that it definitely has impacted, you know, my ability to, my reach is getting wider. So, you know, just for instance, we just did a summer camp in High Point, did a partnership with a church. I brought a boxing set and to the church. We did a spar and STEM clinic. So we partnered with a nonprofit that provides STEM curriculum and training. And so we was able to bring out a gentleman by the name of Joel Leonard, Makesboro, USA. So that means we brought manufacturing games and gadgets out. That's how the relationships I've been able to create. Last year, we did a basketball tournament job fair. I was able to sit down with the director of the Greensboro Sportsplex. So we had people hired. We had gang issues resolved because we was able to get a building and create that platform. And so, again, as a for-profit, it's my business to build relationships so that we can create pipelines so those resources can make it down. I'm excited to announce, and nobody's heard this, that we have a nonprofit coming on board as we start our own nonprofit, empowering communities from within. So that's going to give us an opportunity to provide even more resources now. Because, you know, being a for-profit kind of, we've been able to do some awesome work with getting contracts with nonprofits and schools and as a for-profit. And now having chances to do things like physical sponsorships through MOUs. But that has been a challenge because it's a very antiquated system when it comes to how nonprofits do business with for-profits. So now going into the nonprofit sector allows us to kind of, you know, knock out some of those barriers and be able to get right to the to the resources we need to get to in order to continue programming and empowering the communities. I don't want to babble, but
no, you know, keep babbling, it's fine.
But fine. The significance of doing a SPAR and STEM clinic in the High Point location is because this church is in the top 6% poor zip codes in the country. That means that you have rival. This is a gang area, gang set. There's trap houses. There's black properties. There's a food desert. There is everything that we already know. And so when you bring this quality of programming, that's awesome. But now this has to be like the norm where they always have somewhere to go and learn and be exposed and engaged. And so, you know, that's the significance of the nonprofit side, is being able to make sure we can continue doing that at a greater quality.
I really appreciate you speaking about that, because years ago, just to bring some content, I went to Southern Guilford, and Southern Guilford is kind of different now, where I don't know if people want to admit this, but there used to be a kind of rival between the Greensboro people and the High Point people. And it was just, you're laughing because you know, right?
Yeah, you're right. It's still like that a little bit. It's still like that a little
bit. It still is. And, you know, and I say that to say that with the rise of crime everywhere, you know, in particular, you see it, you note it in High Point and you note it in Winston-Salem. And Greensboro is getting there too. What are your plans, in addition to what you just said, what are your plans to kind of help lower that or have young people into activities where they don't even have to think about gangs and stuff like that?
Yeah, I tell you, like, you know, I remember growing up and then hearing it as a young adult and as an adult, if you could save one, like, that's a lot, you know. And that I really understand that even more now today, because it's a huge fight, and it's not a fight that can just be resolved and conquered. Like, Punch or Pound Kids can't do that by itself. It's going to take collaborational effort. Again, it's going to take policy and legislation. You know, I have individuals that I've been able to build relationships with that write policy, and they're doing things that says that if you go to school and if you go to a public school for one semester and get free lunch, you qualify for a $9,000 voucher for a scholarship opportunity for K-12. We need more of those type of individuals in the right places, because what ultimately happens in a community that's faced with so much economic trauma, as much as mental trauma, excuse me, as much as, you know, just everything that these communities deal with, it's just a lot. It's really a lot. And so what I and Punch for Pound Kids plan to continue doing is building solid relationships and collaborative effort opportunities to connect to the resources. We have about, in High Point, we had 15 kids this summer for a four-week camp. In Greensboro, we have about 20 coming in every week. Those are 35 families. That's, you know, that may be an academic issue, that may be a behavior issue, that may be an employment issue. We just want to provide the best quality service to the families that we're able to build relationships with. When the city has some level of violence, we might go out and do a call of action. We just did a flag football, guns down, flags up, flag football on Flag Street. That's in the middle of Hampton Homes at Sussman Park. First game, we had about 30 brothers, teens all the way up. That's what we want to continue to do, is let the community know that we have a presence and we're here to be a part of the solution and help take you to the next level. And if we can't do that internal, then we're going to get that done with the external relationships.
So what would you need from the external relationships? Like a person like myself, or a person listening to this podcast episode, what could they do to help?
Wow, great question. So I would love for the listeners and the viewers to be able to visit our p4kids.com website. We have a join the team. We have a volunteer opportunity. We have internship with college students opportunity. Again, we have the next gen program, 16 through 24 year olds that are, you know, it has a few stipulations. However, if you're not in school, if you're not working, you know, it's a few different stipulations that, you know, you have to meet a criteria. However, you reach out, we're able to probably put you in certain programs that we have with NextGen, our partnership. You know, I'm always inviting the brothers and the men out. That's always a plus. It's kind of like a magical moment when some of my bros come out to the gyms and they like almost turn into superheroes.
I think that's great. And I'm sure that the listeners and the viewers, they will definitely, if anything, donate. But speaking of that, you know, my husband and I and my oldest daughter, we watch Succession on HBO Max. Have you ever heard of that show?
I haven't. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's no problem. So basically, it's interesting because it's if you want to, I don't know if it's modeled after the Murdochs. I don't know. But basically, it's about a family and the father has like a, let's say, a CNN, right? He owns a CNN. And it's the fifth one in the nation or whatnot. And, you know, it's about power and control and strategies. We look at it because of the strategies. So this is going to counter into my question. What kind of strategy, besides what you have already told us, that you can share with us that you have for the future for Punch for Pound Kids?
You want me to open up my treasure box?
Well, you can give us something. Listen, you can give us something tangible, but you know, something that will be helpful, because my listeners are definitely strategic and they're very intelligent, and so I know they would love that kind of nugget from me.
Oh, definitely. I had an opportunity to go to A&T and speak to their learning service program. And it was just an awesome event, just because I got a chance to speak about being a for-profit and how I masked my for-profit and a non-profit model. And so, and then understanding like how funding is allocated and where the relationships you need to build per what you're doing inside of your non-profit. So for strategy, for me, it was like, you know, I dropped out of high school at 16, so I really was not really like a book smart guy, but something about finding purpose, really, and having a passion. And so I just became a student, and that is just important. Like, and for whatever you're doing, just be a student of what you're doing, whether you're talking about the demographic or the target audience you're serving, you know, the market that what that looks like, you know, if you're in a nonprofit world. It's just being, to me, being a student and having, I tell you the truth, and I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't have a business plan. I didn't do it like that. Like, some people be like, yeah, you freestyled it, you know, but I didn't freestyle it as much as I just didn't structure it the traditional way. Like, you know, Jay-Z don't write raps. Like, he just kind of like walk back and forth and kind of, you know, that's kind of like, for me, I was just jumping off the ledge on each step and having that confidence. But if I was to answer the question, strategy, I would definitely, at this point for me and Punch for Pound Kids, we know that we're in Greensboro, we're in High Point at solid locations, Jamestown on the weekends. And so what that looks like on paper is that Punch for Pound Kids now covers Guilford County. And so when you talk like that, then that means you're not just having a city council conversation, you're having a county commissioner conversation. When you talk like, okay, so when you say this is your program, this is your services, and now we've expanded to serving 16 to 24, which is young adults, now we're going from educational to recreational to public safety. And so these levels of terms all aligned to certain levels of departments, funding, relationships. And so if I'm answering your question, the strategy is understanding who you serve, what your product is, and then connecting to those inside of that realm, if that makes sense.
It makes sense. And I also, I would think relationships, because you said it plenty of times, but I believe that's true as well. You know, building those relationships, and especially, like you said, quietly, you know, when something isn't being posted or, you know, being shared, there's still things going on behind the scenes.
And I will tell you this too. One of the biggest reasons, when I say GED or no college degree, and then I say relationships, but before all of the relationships, I had a level of execution. I studied Nipsey Hussle like he like my brother almost, you know, like, and what I mean by that is I understood how to increase my value and then begin to leverage it. I understood how to make the mayor want to come have a conversation with me. Because, you know, back to that kind of racist conversation, the racist conversation has a kind of undertone of give me, you should give me. And right or wrong, I believe, yes, we never got our 40 acres in the mule. So that's a fact. But we also still can say we never got the 40 acres in the mule. So now I don't want to have a give me. I want to have a business conversation. I want to have an intellectual property conversation. I want to have a conversation that says that we've been able to execute on this level without you guys. Now, this is what we can do to support you as a partnership. And so that is very important for me. When Nipsey say all money in, like, that was very important for me to stay for a profit so that I can warrant the respect to come back and have a conversation that I'm comfortable with the terms and conditions. You're not employing me. We're doing a partnership.
We can end on that, but I do have to ask a staple question of Expressive Espresso. So I always like to ask my guests for them to think back when they were 12 years old, because middle school is such a pivotal time period. You're in middle school, you're out of elementary, but you're not quite in high school. So you're trying to figure out what you're going to be or who you want to be. Given the relationships that you have built now, given the trajectory that you have had, what would you tell your 12-year-old self now?
Wow. I would tell my 12-year-old self, I would say, be a kid, Stephen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, so look, like, you know, when we talk about our community having trauma, you know, I went to Iraq. Right. And so they diagnosed me with PTSD. And so I believe that a lot of the communities that are like where I was raised in, the dynamics of the household, you know, the unbalanced household, mom have to be everything with every hat. I believe we all kind of are faced with levels of adultification too early, where our youth are being exposed to what being an adult is. And not getting a chance to be a kid. Because the home is unbalanced, because the economic part is unbalanced, who gets to cultivate the kid? Who gets to put him in all these extracurricular activities and then be able to micromanage it and find out that Johnny really can do this because you was able to be that parent with the resources and the time? And so, I say, Stephen, be a kid.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen. I really appreciated this interview. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know your time is valuable. And I hope to work with you in the future. I really do. And
yeah. I definitely hope so, too. I think that'll be awesome.
Yes.
I think that'll be awesome. I think what you do is can be great. I always tell our community, if you can find a hole in a community, and then you can create a product or you can create a solution, that's good business. And who better to empower our community? Who better to do business with the people than the people that look like our community? I say that to say, like, what you're doing is crazy. I think that we have an awesome platform ourselves at Punch for Pound Kids to be able to create. We have a program called E4, Engage, Expose, Educate, and Empower. And that has everything to do with apprenticeship. And so what you're doing is something that I'm pretty sure it's a lot of teens and young that want to do and get an opportunity to be heard or have an idea. And so I would love the opportunity for Punch for Pound Kids and Espresso to do something together.
And so you've all heard it, right? There's going to definitely be a collaboration with P4Kids and Expressive Espresso, the podcast. I hope you all enjoyed listening to the interview, and thank you so much for welcoming me back. I am so happy to be back and to offer great interviews, life hacks, and all those things, because this is the coffee shop for leaders. So make sure you are following me on Instagram at AlexisDanju33 or the hashtag Sip the Podcast. And now that you have Sip the Podcast, make sure you sip this hustle. You can get it on Amazon or you can get the autographed copy on AlexisDanju.com. And until we meet again, have a great one.